to Pokemon Monday, episode 29. It is Monday, December 13th, and I am your host, Carolyn Goodmanson, and with me are our two illustrious co-hosts.
Michael Grimm.
Hello. And
Henry Gilbert.
Hi.
Yeah, we've been the regular hosts for like a while now. Have we had, like, we haven't really been mixing up the lineup very much.
Yeah, I feel like it was maybe 2 months ago that like Tyler Nagata was last on the show.
I feel like we're like the Triforce of of Pokemon Monday hosts.
Well, we should say we're the three starters of Pokemon.
Oh, we are the three. That's a good one.
Hey, maybe that's a topic of conversation, which starter each of us is.
Okay, I'm Bulbasaur.
Okay.
Called it.
I'd have to put more consideration to it.
Oh no.
Maybe the commenter should say which one we are.
Yeah, that's true. And you have to do it for every generation.
All right.
Okay, so not too much to talk about today, but let's get right into it. And you guys don't mess up today because I don't have time to edit the audio because I have a huge feature due tomorrow that I haven't really started. So
I'll try not to say anything accidentally racist.
No awkward pauses. No accidental racism.
Or intentional racism.
No
for that
intentional
matter.
Racism.
Oh.
No mixing up your Pokéfax.
Mew is number 47.
Yeah, so pressure. So speaking of Mew, do you guys want to talk about this news, that this theory that just broke? I hadn't heard it before.
Yeah. I gotta say.
So it's, in case you didn't see, and I'll post it on the Pokemon Monday page, there's a theory out there that has totally convinced me that Ditto is a failed Mew clone. So the evidence really stacks up if you think about it. So the first thing, there was this image that got posted on Reddit, and it starts with, they have the same color scheme. If you look at their normal sprites and shiny sprites, it's not exact. Like, Ditto is a little more purple than Mew is. Mew is more of a baby pink, but then their shiny sprites are both the same color, like baby blue.
Mm-hmm.
They're both genderless. This is what really got me, you guys. Are you guys ready for this? Are you guys sitting down?
Yes.
Are you guys holding on to your socks?
Ready.
They both weigh 8.8 pounds.
Mm.
So, yeah. And then, I know that's basically like 4 kilograms or whatever, but it's coincidence.
Yeah.
And they're both normal type. They can both learn transform. I really think that Ditto is a failed Mew clone.
That is startling evidence. Man.
And then the other thing that someone pointed out to me on Twitter, I forget who, I think it was the Destrian, pointed out to me that you can catch Ditto in the Cinnabar Mansion, the Pokemon Mansion on Cinnabar Island.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you learn about Mew being cloned.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And in the lore, I mean, it could, Mewtwo could be the second clone they tried to make, and that's why.
Exactly. I think what they tell you when you learn about Mew and Mewtwo and the Pokemon Mansion is that is the place where, and here's another thing too, like, it's not just where you learn about it, it's where they did their genetic experiments in the game. So that's where you learn that Mew was impregnated with Mewtwo. Gross.
Wow. Yuck.
And that Mewtwo, and the reason why the Pokemon Mansion is so, like, falling apart and decrepit and, like,
see, I thought it was in the anime that they just got, like, a skin fleck or something of Mew, and that they cloned him Jurassic Park style from that.
Right,
I didn't know that about
him. Well, I don't know.
In the games,
this is what
that's
Bulbapedia
crazy.
Says.
No, I believe that.
But yeah, that. And, like, the reason why the mansion is all torn up is because Mewtwo, trashed it when he escaped.
He fought against his master. Like, he was pretty mad at Giovanni.
Well, I just picture Mewtwo, like, bursting out alien style and just, like, I don't know. I feel really bad for Mew if that's true.
Well, you know, in the first Pokemon movie, Mewtwo is a sad dude also.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like anything really affects Mew, though. He's pretty chill.
Yeah.
But I like that, and it also makes me think how, like, Ditto, like, just started as one, but it's such a love machine that, like, it's like everywhere now, like zebra mussels or kudzu.
Yeah.
Like,
but what's weird is that you can't breed two Dittos to make another Ditto. You can't breed Ditto
Yeah, but they must keep... They reproduce somehow. I mean, they...
Yeah, how does that work? How come the game doesn't... that's a good question. How come the game doesn't allow you to breed two dittos? Does anyone know?
Maybe they only produce asexually and just split and stuff. They are kind of like an amoeba.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense because it needs something to copy.
Uh-huh.
But how are there dittos in the wild if they can't breed?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying they, like just like an amoeba, they just split and make a new one. That's what I think. Since they're all kind of gelatinous
anyway. Oh, I see, I see, okay.
Every that time they sense. Get hit by the cut attack.
That could very well be, actually. Mm. Okay, that explains it. I'm satisfied with that explanation.
That's canon, official canon.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah, but this Ditto is a failed clone thing. It has convinced me so thoroughly that I'm, like, really eager to, like, talk to somebody from the Pokemon company and ask them about it. Because it can't be...
It's too many coincidences.
Like, it's to the point where I think, like, I honestly get... I feel that there's a high chance that it was intentional. But,
I'd say, I don't know, I mean... I interviewed the director and one of the other guys a couple years ago, and I asked them about Missing No. They didn't even know who that was. So you might need to talk to the guys that actually work in the lab, because they might not be able to help.
Because every time I talk to the main Pokemon, like the guy who's like in charge of all the Pokemon PR, JC Smith.
Mm.
Every time I ask him, so like at every Pokemon tournament, I see him and I corner him and like ask him all the stupid fan questions. Yeah, he's always like, he always like looks and then kind of looks away. But yeah, okay. But yeah, so I'm like dying to ask him about that.
I like that interview you did. Yeah. I suggested one question you asked them, which was like, "What's their least favorite Pokemon?" But
they'll never answer.
Yeah. I believe their answer was just, if we make a Pokemon an official Pokemon, we like it. So we don't, we trash ones we don't like, and it just doesn't become one.
Yeah.
The one guy said he did answer what his least favorite one to play against was, but I can't remember what that answer was. Go back and read his story. You should put that in the thing.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll link to that. That's a good call. Yeah.
That was back when you were freelancing.
That is true.
Yeah. True. Yeah, I interviewed JC Smith at the last Pokemon tournament, but I don't think we ever posted the interview.
At that point, he had nothing to say about Black and White, right?
No, he wasn't allowed. But he had some interesting some interesting answers to stuff. Like, I asked him what was the Pokemon, which now is a total moot question, which I didn't realize at the time, was what Pokemon do you think is most deserving of an evolution? Mm. And he had a really good answer for that. But I can't anyway, it doesn't really matter now because Black and White didn't have any evolutions of previous generation Pokemon.
Yeah.
But looking around at this Ditto as a failed Mew clone thing, I found some other interesting theories floating around on the web. Oh, speaking of, I just totally interrupted myself, but speaking of interesting theories, so many people backed up Mike Grimm on the hitting A to catch the Pokemon.
Oh, really?
Oh my gosh. And everybody had their own take on it too. Like, people did different things, like mashing the button, holding different buttons, holding down an A, holding B, whatever.
I used to hold L and R on the GBA.
Yeah. Wow. The funniest one that I thought, which I can see how someone can fall for this, and now I'm like, I was actually like reading the comments and thinking, does this really help? Like, I need to know now. Is there something in the code that it really does help when you like hit A? So I'm actually really curious about that. But the funniest one was there were a couple people who, I guess there was a rumor floating around, like I guess when the original Diamond and Pearl came out, the first ones for DS. That if you yell into the DS mic, like, gotcha, or something like that, like, it'll catch the Pokemon, it'll, like, raise the chance of...
like yelling like, objection.
I can totally see that, because you do that in other games. Like, I can see how someone would fall for that rumor.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that really gets me with those kind of things, like pushing the button and everything, is there's so much stuff in Pokemon they never tell you about that, like, you start to figure out for yourself. So it seems more believable that there would be, like... wouldn't ever say this, but maybe if you do tap down three times or whatever.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's what gives it credence.
Yeah. Actually,
Yeah. I think I'll try that when I start playing Black and White.
Yeah. I need to know. I need someone to like.
Next time you corner JC, you should ask.
I will.
But that reminds me of a story of how like I've embarrass myself a few times playing DS games that make you yell into it. Because, like, this was just in my apartment with my old roommate, and I was just playing Ace Attorney, and I yelled, "Objection!" And then she knocked on my door, like, "Is everything okay?"
You know, you don't have to yell objection.
Well, mate, I was super into it. Like, this was getting to an important plot point.
I did, too. Yeah, that's one of those things, too, where it's like you feel like you have to let it go, because, like, I realize that you don't have to, but it's so much more fun to yell objection and hold it. I like yelling hold it.
And then there have been two different games where you have to blow into the microphone to let something happen, and I've done that on the BART, and I've felt like a total tool.
Oh, there's so many DS games that make you blow into the microphone.
The ones I was thinking of were Ninja Town and Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. Both had a lot of blowing.
I played Spectrobes for a review once, there was lots of blowing in that. You would chisel fossils out, and you had to blow the dust
exactly.
off.
Yes, exactly.
That's a Pokemon wannabe.
You had to do that in Fossil Fighters, too, I think. Okay. I like Spectrobes. You know what was really cool about Spectrobes is those cards that you fit over the DS screen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are really cool. That's, like, such a cool idea. Like, I know it's just a cash-in for, like, kids buying cards, whatever, but I thought they were really cool, and I thought Spectrobes was really cool. Of course, there's going to be comparisons, but I thought it was totally different than Pokemon.
It was more over-the-top RPG, I don't know.
Yeah, and they also had the first really robust, like, online community, like, achievements and stuff. Like, if you signed into the Disney
Kids D-Gamer. Or whatever,
D-Gamer, you could, like, post your status in the game, and you could...
You know, I wouldn't want to play a lot of games that are attached to D-Gamer. I don't think they're very fun for me, but D-Gamer is actually a pretty cool idea. It's a cross-platform like Xbox Live, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's like Xbox Live for DS.
That's interesting.
Nintendo could learn a lot from D-Gamer.
Yeah, but I think that Spectrobes was the best of the D-Gamer functional games.
Well, not Chronicles of Narnia.
I think I'd feel apprehensive about participating in a community whose average user is 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah. Hey, I'm 26. Your kids want to talk about Spectrums?
You're the people this thing is meant to keep us away from.
That's always how it is. I know there's a lot of adult Pokemon fans, but that's always how I feel at those Toys R Us event giveaways. I'm like the only old person there.
There was a big... a group of people showed up for the grown-up tournament.
For the tournament it's different because there's a lot of like really serious adults and stuff. But I think,
Well, we should move on to another topic.
So I was going to talk about a couple different more like weird theories.
Okay.
That are also, I think Gen 1 was the generation that had the most like possible like weird theories for different Pokemon origins and stuff, because I don't think that they were as careful with the designs, like, even though of course Gen 1 is like some of the best Pokemon and most favorite Pokemon, original 151 forever, blah blah blah. Like, I don't think at the time they may have known how huge it was gonna be.
Oh yeah.
So they weren't like super careful. I mean, there was huge glitches in Gen 1, like the thing with like the ghost type not functioning properly and blah blah blah. But a couple ones is that Cubone totally looks like a baby Kangaskhan.
Yeah.
Like, digitally take the bone, the, like, skull off his head, he looks exactly like Kangaskhan. Like, exactly. Mm. Like, I wish you guys had this picture in front of you. It's insane. Like, seriously. That's very crazy. True.
Well, it looks like the one that's in the pouch, you mean?
But he also just looks kind of like a small Kangaskhan. Like, their bodies are the exact same color, and they both have, like, they're, like, both brown with, like, the lighter kind of cream on their chest. Uh-huh. Like, the little, you know, kind of like a teddy bear circle.
Yeah.
And then, they both just, they look very similar.
Well, yeah. I think I sent that to you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does look like a little baby Cubone, but that's the whole thing of Cubone, is that that's his mom's skull, right? So it plays into that whole Kangaskhan has the baby in her pouch thing, so the idea is
And then the mom dies, and then when you grow up, it's when the mom dies.
But then who's Marowak? So it's like, it seems like they kind of got some of their species mixed up, like species that were going to be related that they decided to go in a different direction with. Because, like, it's really weird that Kangaskhan is... I don't want to talk too much. By the way, that's our Pokemon of the week. I'm just going to say it right now. Kangaskhan.
I thought we were going to go with another ice one.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. We're going to do ice.
Snover.
Well, technically, it's not the first day of winter yet. So
okay. All righty.
Glaceon was just a preview. Okay.
All right.
Okay, guys.
Never mind.
Okay, guys. Henry should have replied to my email when I sent out
that. I'm sorry. There was a lot of stuff from the VGA.
Okay, but okay. So technically, it's not winter yet. Okay, blah blah blah. Okay, anyway, Kangaskhan. So, yeah. So like that doesn't explain Marowak, but it seems so. For example, another Pokemon that's like this, not to the extent of Cubone, because it seriously seems like baby Cubone should be Kangaskhan, and like why is Kangaskhan a single evolution.
Yeah, when it has a baby in its pouch.
And it's like, really weird that... And I know there's other Pokemon that are kind of like this, like Chansey's kind of like this, with the egg in her pouch. But, like, Kangaskhan is born with a baby in her pouch. Like, when you hatch a Kangaskhan, it has a baby in the pouch.
That's creepy.
Really weird. But, yeah, so I'll stop the talk there about Kangaskhan, blah, blah, blah. But another one that's like that is Venonat. Looks identical in the face to Butterfree.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, their faces are identical, pretty much. They both have the big red eyes, like the cute, like, puppy dog red eyes. And then, like, a round nose, although Butterfree's nose, I think, is blue, and Venonat's is red. And then they both have the little fangs coming out from, like, where their nose is.
Mm. Yeah.
And their hands are the same. Their hands are both those little, like, weird, like, cute little three-prong claw things. So yeah, they look, I don't know, to me Venonat and Butterfree look more related than Venonat and Venomoth.
Yeah, Venomoth was one of those evolutions where they just kind of diverge pretty big from their looks.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I think a lot of that come, I think maybe that one is more from just not planning instead.
I don't know. I think they might have mixed up the families at the end. Like, some guy was putting them all together and was like, whoops. Because, like, if you look at, so Butterfree evolves from Metapod.
Yeah.
And Metapod looks more like Venomoth than, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So they... Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Seems like those two evolutionary families got kind of mixed up near the end.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Venomoth, Venonat would be a better evolution for Butterfree.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I mean, that's kind of weird, you guys. I don't know what everyone thinks. But, and then the last one that I'll mention from this page that I found is that another thing that's kind of creepy is that Mareep, gets his name from a cross between Mary, like Mary had a little lamb, and sheep. So it's kind of creepy that, like, it's like a human sheep hybrid.
That's strange, yeah. Mary.
Really?
Just think about it. Think about it for a second.
I'm thinking about it. I'm not getting
it. I don't know. He doesn't look like a person, but yeah. Maybe, like, it was like some kind of Frankensteinian experiment, and that's why he's electric type, because they were like
I always thought it was supposed to be like that Android's Dream of Electric Sheep kind of thing, because they're electric sheep.
Oh, so it's sort of like electric sheep.
Philip K. Dick reference, maybe.
Oh, maybe. Do you think that's possible?
I don't know. I'm sure the guys on the staff, you know, maybe, you know,
that is possible.
Throw you a little bone. Well, because Boba Fett's based on, like, a Japanese comedian, like, verbatim, so it's from, like, the 70s, so it's like, I don't know.
I'm just thinking it's pretty rare that they base a Pokemon on something Western.
True.
Well, I don't know. Blade Runner's got to be huge in Japan, though, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah, because part
Because that's what Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep comes from, kids.
Yeah. And also, well, yeah, because I know what Kojima made, Hideo Kojima, Metal Gear Solid, he made a whole game called Snatcher that was just a Blade Runner game.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, that's a good point. I'm totally convinced now. You just convinced me. Which, that's, by the way, one of my favorite books. I really like Dandruff's Dream.
You're not a fan of the movie, though, are you?
I'm not. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, you know what? We shouldn't.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Okay. I'm not. I don't hate it. I just don't think it's a good representation of the book. But, okay.
That's a fair argument.
Yeah. And then another thing I wanted to mention quickly is that there's a Darkrai giveaway in Japan right now.
Ooh.
But it sucks because it's only like at physical locations. So
ooh.
I know.
Well, I was going to Japan next week anyway. So
I'd be so jealous. But yeah, I guess they're being given away in different airport terminals and then also in select stores. So
I've seen billboard ads saying there's now nonstop flights to NHK airport.
Yeah, there's that new airport or whatever, like right in Tokyo. Is mm-hmm. that kind of is that new?
I don't
new.
Think it's no. I don't think it's new because I just read this manga called 20th Century Boys that one of the plot points is in 1999 that airport is blown up.
So. Well, like I know it was there, but like I don't think it was used like for commercially that much, was it?
Maybe not. Well,
and not
it
for,
starts with the letter N or something.
International flights. Yeah. Well, there's Narita is the main
Narita,
one.
Narita. Narita. That's the one I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. No. That's this is a different that's not. That's like far. I'm sorry. This is totally off topic. No. They're talking about a different airport that's like actually in Tokyo because Narita is like outside of Tokyo.
Oh,
you have
okay.
To go in.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then in the comic book, the Narita airport.
It's outside of the main city center, I should say. It's probably still Tokyo proper because Tokyo goes on
Tokyo
for, like,
is
a
big
million
thing,
miles.
Isn't
yeah.
It?
But yeah. So, okay. So, anyway. And then speaking of places. I know there's been
nice
kind of
transition.
Yeah, thank you. I know there's been kind of I'm like trying to keep it moving because I'm like I'm not gonna edit this at all. Sorry guys, I got stuff to do. Unfortunately, the origins of the name Unova, however you're supposed to pronounce it. There's been like a lot of speculation about like a couple people have messaged me saying like that it means like that Unova is like United States of America, like
you know.
Yeah. So okay, guys. So I don't know. It could be possible. It could also have a double meaning too. So I'm not discounting anyone's theory about that. Especially because like two of the cities seem really obviously based on American cities.
Mm.
Hyun looks like New York, and then what's the other one called? That looks like Las Vegas, north of Hyun. Whatever. It's where you ride the Ferris wheel within and it's all sparkly. But, so yeah, I guess that's possible. The thing that I assumed it was that, and I think it's more likely, just because it's my theory or whatever, but, and I think a lot of people are saying this too on the internet, is that it's more like Uno, like, the number one.
Uh-huh.
Because issue, that's what issue means. It's like it's like
I didn't
one.
Know that.
So will there be a dosva and a tresva?
I hope not. Well, I think what it was I think there was an interview. I think it might have been one of those official like Nintendo interviews with like Game Freak, where they said that they were inspired by the Latin that's on like money in the United States, the E pluribus unum, like which I forget what that even means, but something like from many, like one or whatever, like about many things coming together and creating a single thing. So like Ishu, kind of to me, I interpreted that as kind of like the word, if you speak any Japanese, like Ishoni, like together.
Oh, I see. One
like
together.
People coming together.
So it's Pokemon going into the masonry kind of conspiracy
yes,
world.
Exactly,
now.
Exactly. Excellent. But I think it was kind of going along with the topic of whether Pokemon should be separate from humans or whether they should all live together. And I think the name of the region kind of answers the question of what they think and it should be together.
Wow.
So I think that's what Unova
comes
deep. From. That's yeah. Deep. Yep. So, but I mean, it could also be a play on words. It could also mean United States of America.
It could be a lot of things. It could be all those things.
Yeah, so. Unless they come out and officially say that's not what it is, it's valid. And then, do you want to move on to the question of the week? Because I'm trying
yes.
to keep this moving. Okay, so this one is from Efreed52, and he asks, what is your favorite Pokemon that competitively just isn't good? For example, I love Kecleon, and I always try to give him a chance, but he's just awful. Henry, that's your whole Pokemon team.
That is not true. Look, all right, I had Sunflora on my team just because I felt like I needed to have some sort of grass type. It was a mistake, I'll admit. I know.
So does that mean we have to bump up Sunflora from like the never used tier to like the
no? I'll never use Sunflora again.
No, I don't want to ruin.
No, I actually didn't even like. He looks goofy. I don't like it. I think my favorite. I really like. Let's see. Well, I said Sentret last week, but also also Noctowl. I just I got very attached to him, even though he's not useful. And same with there was another. I'm so embarrassed. I can't remember the evolution of Phanpy, the elephant.
Manaphy.
Donphan.
I love Donphan. I think he's actually somewhat useful. Like, he's a strong second evolution. But Donphan I like quite a lot. He wouldn't be on my tournament team. Mm. That's for sure.
I think he's a fine Pokemon.
Okay. But, well, then I'm just going to go with Noctowl. He would totally get hammered.
Okay.
I'd say, I don't know. I like Dunsparce a lot. Mm. I went so far as to actually EV train a Dunsparce and realized that was a huge waste of time.
No, I think that's cool.
He's good. I like Shedinja too, but, you know, you're never going to be able to use Shedinja.
Well, I think he's kind of surprisingly useful.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. For me, it's like there's a lot of single stage evolutions that just aren't that powerful that I really like.
Dunsparce should have evolutions, darn it. That guy, like, really lends himself well to it. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Rapidash is one that I really like that I just think there's better choices. A lot of the evolutions I really like, but I don't think are really that great in battle.
No, yeah, if you're going to have a Pokemon of those types, then you probably have a better fire Pokemon than Flareon.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, Flareon is not good at all. I like Huntail. He's kind of creepy. Carnivine. I like the look on his face.
He's a cool guy.
He looks like he's pouncing at something, about to eat it, though.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a team with just wacky grass types, like him and Ludicolo, and just like all these guys that are awesome designs, but just aren't very good.
Yeah. I like Carnivine because you can't really tell whether he's going to give you a hug or he's going to bite your face off. Like, he just can't really. I can't read him very
goofy
well.
Goofy eyes. Yeah. You can read nothing from them.
Yeah. Those are seriously like the most atrocious just cartoon eyes slapped on him. It's just like googly eyes on the plant.
Cookie Monster.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I felt about Sunflower, though. I'm like, really, guys?
No, Sunflower looks stupid. I agree. I had no other grass type, and I wanted
to live down the Sunflower.
All the grass types.
I hadn't caught any other grass type, and my starter was.
Oh, man. I would have done without grass type.
No, I realize that now. The second he was murdered, like in one hit, I was like, I should have just not had a grass type on this team. Why did I feel like I had to have one? Yeah, but it was some mania I had that day. I felt like I had to have a grass type on my team.
I don't know. I can see that because grass type is like my favorite type. But oh man,
I wasted a sunstone on it.
Henry like doesn't even look amused right now. He's just like shameful face. You know what? That was the Henry, though. That was the legacy of our tournament. That's what we're all talking about still is that Sunflower.
I didn't even see the fight. No. I was too busy battling Eric for like 30 minutes with our awful psychic steel battle.
Well, Henry's fight was over so fast, I don't think anyone saw it.
Well, yeah, so first it was Sunflower that let me down, and then like I had him a champ that I was like, he is going to wreck this dude of Brett's. And then Brett pulls out Spirit Tomb, and then that's it. Like, that Machamp was my last guy, and I was counting on him to stand strong.
Sorry, who else did you have on your team?
I can't remember it all. It was Machamp, Sunflora, definitely Tysplosion was there, and Donphan, too. And maybe Togetic, I think.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's all I remember.
Oh, that's not as bad as I thought it was. I thought you had like a, like your Ferret or like a Beedrill or something.
No, no, I didn't. It was. I'm not an idiot. I just made one mistake.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I'll talk to Brett after this, but yeah.
See what he remembers.
Confirm.
Yeah.
Six Bidoofs. Yeah. That's what I remember.
my god, yeah.
We should move on to
False Pokemon.
We should move on to Pokemon
of the Week. Sorry, yes, 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 Pokemon of the Week. Is that our last topic? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, moving on. Pokemon of the Week, Kangaskhan, because I forgot we're supposed to do ice, but it's not winter yet, guys. I know it's not winter, because usually a lot of times my birthday, which is next Monday, you guys, by the way, is a lot of times it's the first day of winter, so.
Wow, we're going to record Pokemon on your birthday?
Actually, I think next week I'm taking my birthday off, but we'll have to record on Friday, if that's okay with you guys.
All right. Well, it'll still be a birthday podcast anyway, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm starting my birthday on Friday because Brett is taking me to Southern California, which is
what?
Really nice.
Wow.
Get away, which I think he's going to message you later, Mike Grimm, about taking care of Tetra.
Sweet.
That's
impossible.
It's been a while.
I love Tetra. Okay.
Good old Richie Paw.
Richie Paw. So, anyway, yeah, Pokemon of the Week, Kangaskhan.
He's got Mach Punch, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we kind of talked about Kangaskhan already. I don't have any, like, battle things with Kangaskhan, because, again, another one that, like, I like this Pokemon, but I would never use her in battle.
Yeah.
So,
Is it exclusively female?
Yes.
Okay.
Female only. I don't know. Kangaskhan kind of creeps me out, because the whole baby that never grows up thing...
Yeah, psychologically, that's strange.
It's really weird.
Well, I have something to say that, mm-hmm. When I first heard of it, like, I heard Kangaskhan, and I was like, oh, it's a pun on Genghis Khan. I get it. Ha ha. Uh-huh. And then I think, like, last year somebody said, like, yeah, it's a kangaroo Pokemon. I was like, you did. When you were doing your types that aren't used, and then you're like, it's a kangaroo one, get Kangaskhan. I was like,
we were sitting around, because honestly, you guys, it's really hard to think of Pokemon, like,
that was a tough one.
It's really hard to think of, like, common
animals
that was
before
that
fifth generation
as, yes,
as well.
As Pokemon, and Henry was just like, how about kangaroo, and I'm like, Kangaskhan, and you're like, what?
It all hit me at once.
That happens, though. There's still people on, like, Squirtle.
Yeah.
Squirt, Squirrel, Turtle. That's three wordplays in one.
Is it Squirrel, too?
Yeah, he's got a Squirtle
tail. It's totally... Whoa.
You guys kidding me? Oh,
whoa.
You blew my mind, too. I thought it was just Squirt and Turtle, but...
He's a Squirrel, Turtle, and it also says Squirt. That's, like, the best one. Oh, it's three.
Man. Squirtle's, like, my favorite starter now.
Those localization guys.
Man.
Yeah, they really did their work on that.
I feel like Neo on The Matrix. Whoa. Really? Oh, that's so cool. Oh my gosh, that's really cool. Guys, Squirtle, Squirrel, Turtle. And Squirt.
And Squirt.
Oh my god. Yeah. I'm gonna have a Squirtle on my next tournament team.
Squirtle squad for life.
Wow.
I love their sunglasses.
Yeah. Kamina glasses, so good.
Mm. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was another very Japanese reference. In that. They were a very specifically Japanese gang of troublemakers. The Squirtle Squad. Mm.
Squirtle Tribe. Mm. Speed Tribe. Okay.
I remember there was another episode where they, like, what was it? I forget this.
This is how great Kangaskhan is. We're already like, anything but Kangaskhan.
But one thing I think, it's really sad that Kangaskhan kind of got forgotten, because remember how they introduced later the concept of baby Pokemon? Like, there's different baby Pokemon, like Munchlax and...
Magby.
Yeah, Magby, and what's the...
Why not?
Whatever the Jinx one is.
Yeah, Smoochum.
Smoochum.
Pichu.
The king of the babies.
Yes, all of them. Why they didn't do a baby Kangaskhan makes no sense.
Well, it seems like that whole thing makes a lot of sense with the whole Cubone Marowak evolution thing just being completely broken. Because, like, those are clearly intended to be sort of line that just never happened.
Uh-huh. Maybe that's why they just gave up on it.
Yeah.
It's just weird that they even gave Cubone an evolution in Marowak because the mom is supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it makes sense if it's like an evolved individual Cubone, but it seems like it would have to be, Kangaskhan would be like the more evolved pre-evolution of Cubone, since Cubone would have to come after Kangaskhan.
Man, this whole
thing
is a
mess. Yeah.
One more thing about Kangaskhan. I remember in Pokemon Snap working really hard to get a picture of the perfect Kangaskhan picture.
I guess you could have like a male-female evolution where like a female could evolve into that and then the male would evolve into Marowak.
Yeah.
I'll write an email to the Pokemon Company and let them know my feelings about
this. You should, because it's totally messed up. Like, yeah, they weren't really... and then one thing that I kind of thought was kind of cute, which is kind of like... I don't really know why they changed the localization. But I really love the name Kangaskhan. I think it's a really cool name. But it's kind of weird because Genghis Khan is a man, but it's supposed to be a female Pokemon, which is fine, whatever. But in the Japanese version, Kangaskhan's name is Kanga Ruler. So it's still like a ruler, like a king or a queen.
And that it makes sense they picked a ruler like Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Remember the other thing from the thing about that Kangaskhan comment was that someone mentioned that this isn't verified in any way, but the... Mm-hmm. There was a connection there, and it turns out Missing No was the was actually the placeholder for the Pokemon that was going to tie all of them together.
Uh-huh.
Whether or not that's true or not,
pure
speculation.
Totally could be true. Totally could be true. Also on Bulbapedia, it says that the glitch Pokemon M evolves into Kangaskhan.
Yes.
So. I think there's probably something in there that they're just like, let's just...
this needs to ship tomorrow.
Yeah, let's just box this up, call it a day. Good job, guys.
Let's start thinking about what our next game will be. I'm tired of this Pokemon stuff.
Yeah, so.
I like to think that the guy I finished the very first Red and Blue was like, man, thank God that's out of the way. And then sells 8 trillion copies. Well, and this is what your life will be.
When Heart Gold and Soul Silver came out, I read a news story, an interview where they said that they felt sure when they released Gold and Silver, they're like, well, this is it. We're done with Pokemon.
Mm.
We made the game that we had wanted to make the first time. Here it is. We're done.
They'll just never...
They're never free.
Never free, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if, one generation, they just make totally crappy Pokemon just so that they can be over. Free of their bonds, their Pokemon shackles.
Just palette swap Digimon.
Yeah.
that's the great irony. We caught them. In this Pokemon thing. Yeah, get it?
Yeah. I guess so. But I really hope that somewhere out there there's kids doing their history reports and accidentally saying Kangaskhan instead of Kangaskhan.
Yeah.
You know how all the kids common all people say custard instead of Custer for Custer's Last Stand?
Mm-hmm.
Also Custer's Revenge. I just want to hear and
check out every list feature ever.
Yeah, all the kids saying custard. I just hope there's some kid giving his report on Kangaskhan somewhere out there.
And that's awesome. Kangaskhan's legacy to the world.
Yes.
That's all we like to say.
So, yeah, but I guess we're, totally over time, and I have a huge feature to write that I'm never going to be able to get done. So,
best of luck to Carolyn.
Yep. Yeah, please Twitter me we have at, a meeting 3 a.m. Oh, gosh, dang it.
Well, you can skip it, I guess.
I am not skipping it because we are voting, and I am putting my vote in it.
Platinum Chalice Awards, GamesRadar.com.
I am putting my vote in, too.
Okay, because there is going to be a civil war in this office.
Well, I told you I made a survive. Did Brett tell you that? I told you. Okay, so I am bothered still. When Red Dead Redemption
just raises
came
index
out,
here.
When Red Dead Redemption came out, everybody was saying, oh, it's so much better than Mario Galaxy. I still stand by Mario Galaxy 2, but I know it won't win. But I don't want Red Dead to win.
Exactly.
So my vote is for Mass Effect 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we got Cowboys versus Aliens here in the office.
Ooh.
Are we all agreed? Do we have three votes?
I think it's
going to
be half and half on this.
I'm voting Green Party on this one.
What?
That's right.
What's the equivalent of that? Call of Duty?
Call of Duty.
No, that's the best game this year. No, Gran Turismo. No, you wouldn't vote for Need for Speed?
You'll have to find out this afternoon.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Anyway.
Man, I'm gonna take off my gloves if this doesn't go the way I want it to go, and I have a feeling it's not gonna go the way I want to go, but want it to go.
I'm with you,
Thank
Brett,
you,
and I think Eric's on your side too. I bet if Joe's there, he'll vote for it.
I don't know. We'll
for
see.
Those, we are voting for Game of the Year. That's what our debate's about here.
Yeah.
So.
Game of the Year.
You just got the inside scoop on our Game of the Year.
That's right, a little insight.
I think everyone knows.
Yeah, if you read our Game of the Year article last week, then you know which had the most votes.
Yeah.
And it was a tie.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see. Okay, guys, we won't see you next week. We will see you next
week. You will hear us next week, but you will be not seeing us Friday.
Yep.
Right.
Yes, that is so. Yeah, there will be a Pokemon Monday next Monday.
Let's clarify that.
The Monday after that,
not idiot
not
speak
so
from
much.
Mike.
The Monday after that, not so much. But
yes, the 27th we will be off, but the 20th we will be on.
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
Well,
okay.
We will see you later, guys.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.